B-Pod Studios.
And there you go. He's here. He's here. He's here, Maz. Cam Newton's here. All right. Yay. Whee!
Chat. Last night at Logan.
Last night.
Channel 7's there. God bless their heart. And that's where we'll begin today. It is the opening day of the Major League season, so we'll have a lot on that later on. But we want to clear off some other stuff off the deck. So we'll start this hour with some Patriots thoughts, some NBA thoughts, and a Bruins thought for you. But we begin with Cam Newton coming off the plane at Logan Airport last night, not saying a damn word. Other than what you basically just heard right there, as Channel 7's on the scene with a microphone, Adam, you know, good job by them. But what do you make of Cam Newton blabbering on for about an hour on everything under the sun, including how he's going to mesh with Bill Belichick and the plays that Josh McDaniels is going to dial up for him, just whatever it was, a week ago on Odell Beckham's YouTube channel, and now he gets to Logan and he clams up. What do you make of that, Maz?
Well, that's not too complicated, is it? That's Bill or Berge or someone over there calling and saying, Cam, put a sock in it. Like, to me, that's essentially what it is. Now, quickly, as an aside, before we get further into that, can I just say, I love the fact that Channel 7 went to the airport last night.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yes.
I love it like you would not believe. That is old school Boston pain in the ass. That was awesome. I loved every second of it. That used to be the kind of thing routinely that you would do. Go to the airport to greet this guy. See if you can find him. Go to this guy's house. Stake him out. I love that crap. It's been way too long since we did that crap. And crap it's like true. That is why Mookie Betts wanted to leave, which I love.
All right. It all comes back to that.
Anyway, but sorry.
Yeah. Right. I mean, can't you just picture us being the high school desk in the Herald? We get a tip at 9 p.m. Someone just flew in. And Maserati, get down there.
Oh, and yes. There that's exactly what I thought of. He said, I've been there. I know what that's like. Oh, do I love that. I love seeing it. I hated it when I was in my 20s. I love it now. Like, oh, God, I do. I loved it. And I do think exactly what I said happened. I think they told him, yep, when are you coming in? Yep. Okay, look, just so you're aware, when you show up, put a cork in it. Shut up. Don't say anything. Put the cork in the bottle. That's it. Playtime's over. That's sort of the sense I got that the Patriots told them, time to play football, time to get ready for the season. No more YouTube, no more Instagram, no other bull crap. Stop talking.
Okay. Murray, do you have a thought? Are you there?
Yeah, I just got it. I had to deal with torrential downpour. Yeah, so I'm on the opposite of Maz here. I don't think that they were tipped off or that they said anything to Cam Newton. I think, you know, the media got a tip from someone that probably worked at Logan or one of the airlines, whatever airline Cam Newton came in on. And then they head down there, and Newton, after a long flight, probably was pretty bumpy. What with all the storms over the last 24 hours, was like, oh, Jesus, really? Oh, fuck. This mob of pains in the asses with their cameras and microphones. Like, I got nothing to say, guys. I'll talk to you when, like, I'm suited up and ready. And that's all I think it was. I don't think he's got some missive from the team saying, say nothing, just move along and go about your business. I just think he was annoyed, and he acted annoyed, like I would have, too. If I got off that plane, I saw those effing microphones and cameras, like, oh, Jesus. Like, I can't tell you to go F yourselves because I'd love to. But, no, I don't have much to say. Talk to you when, you know, things start up.
Well, it's Atlanta. It's a two-hour flight. It's not like he just flew in from the freaking Orient or something. Like
Peru?
I mean, right? It's an hour and 45 minutes in the air or something. I'm sure it was first class. He can't be that cranky.
Wasn't he in L.A.? I thought he was in L.A. He's been in L.A.
I thought the reporting was that he was in from Atlanta. He lives in Atlanta. He trains in L.A. Who the hell knows? I thought that one of the news reports said it was Atlanta. If it's L.A., it's L.A. It's a little different. But he says at one point there, when he's coming off the plane, you know how it is here. I've been told. I mean, he even said it. You'll hear the sound coming up where he even says, I've been told.
Yeah.
He was told from day one.
Absolutely.
We're not doing anything. He was told from day one. And this goes back to the stupid Odell Beckham thing, which is like, don't you get how that isn't how the Patriots do business and they don't want you to do business? They didn't tell him to clam up after the Odell Beckham thing. They told him to clam up the day they signed him. The day they signed, I said, Cam, we're not doing any media. We're not going to, you know, invite the hype. We're not going to say anything about it. You're just going to show up and we're going to do our job. And that's what they said to him from day one, and he can't help himself. And so, like, I find the whole thing silly, you know, frankly, that the team, and I like the way the team does it, but it's so incongruous, Maz. It's just so inconsistent that it's like, all right, we're not going to do a press conference. That's the Patriot way. We're not going to allow you to talk to the media. That's the Patriot way, which I'm all into. But you want to go blab for an hour on Odell Beckham's YouTube channel and talk about your mesh with Bill Belichick and the plays? I mean, it just like, Jimmy, do you have that cut? I mean, just do you remember what he was saying just a week, 10 days ago?
Of course.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Jim.
I mean, I got a call and my agent hit me. I was, you know, no cap. I was working out. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool. Who? And it was like New England. I said, hold on. Like, how is me and Belichick going to mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first thing I thought.
Because it's like perception. But it also it's like this, too. It's like, okay, like can we not? We have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know you who you coming after. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is. It's great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right. You know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog. You getting one of these ticked off dogs, too, that's like, bruh. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man, the agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till it was just all type of, you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
I mean, so what we saw last night at Logan, which is what the team wants.
Right.
But it just highlights how that thing 2 weeks ago is the exact antithesis of what they're looking for. In one breath, in one answer, he talks about how Bill's going to mesh with him. He talks about the plays Josh McDaniels is going to call for him. He talks about Tom Brady. He talks about the opponents they're going to play and how he's going to go on a revenge tour. I mean, it's like he checked all the boxes, and some of them subtly, but checked all the boxes of the exact reason why he's not allowed to stop and talk to the media, and they're not doing a press conference. And it's like, do you get now why that thing last week was so ridiculous?
Oh, of course. Look, again, and so this is why we wonder how it's going to mesh. Like, the whole thing, they're coming at it from two totally different sides. And that thing he did last week, to me, was totally newsworthy. It's him being what he likes to do, at least away from the, you know, from the field, and at the same time then coming in and doing what they like to do. Like, the whole thing's all over the place. So I still wonder how the whole thing is going to work. But I will tell you, what I really want, I don't want to know the Newton on the YouTube, and what I want to know is the Newton on the field. That's the guy I want to know, because that's the guy I don't think I really do know. So I know what the act of Cam Newton is. Like, I know what the hype and the image of Cam Newton is. I want to know what the real guy is, what he's, you know, how motivated he really is, what he's going to be like in the workouts, all of that. And I hope they're getting a really motivated guy there. I think they are.
Right, a football player.
Right, right.
Not some sideshow.
Right, and so, like, I distinguish between the two. I think you do, too. Like, all right, fine, he's got an image, he's selling, I get it, you know, I'm all for that, whatever. But at the end of the day, when Brady was time to play football, Brady played football. And he always did, but the last couple of years got a little different. But even then, Brady as a diva versus a diva as a diva is two totally different things. This guy on the field is really what I'm eager to see.
Okay, meanwhile, Tom Brady reports in Tampa, and if you're watching the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country every day, you'll see him rolling into the, I assume, the Buccaneers facility for his COVID test. At the same time, it was a day after he finally made a statement about, well, the state of his league coming back or his players. He tweeted out that there are more questions than answers, but we must have faith in our NFLPA leaders, both players and staff, to get the game and the business of football in the right place. Brady said on Twitter, let's stay unified and demand necessary answers from the NFL as partners. We're all in this together. And Brady has gotten some blowback from that. Like Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says better late than never, or perhaps in this case, better never than late. And sort of says, where has this been all this time, Brady? You sort of agree with that, Miz.
Well, so look, again, I just think it's too little too late. These guys had a orchestrated campaign that took place over the weekend involving the biggest names in the league. And you even heard Devin McCourty discuss this at one point, and he said, well, look, it's really hard when you're in a union because you got guys coming from a million different places. It's hard for us to stay unified. You have a lot of guys who, can't approach it the same way as others because, they need the money or whatever. So I get that. And then he said, and I'm paraphrasing what Devin McCourty said, okay? But he said, but what we do have is stars, and stars are important in the league. So that Twitter campaign that took place was high-profile players. J.J. Watt, Patrick Mahomes, you go right down the list, high-profile players, except for the greatest player in the history of the league. Like, and I just look at that and I say, Brady either didn't want to be part of it, didn't care enough to be part of it, wanted to make sure he wasn't part of it because he didn't want to be lumped in with the players because he's actually part of management and didn't want to get involved in the issue or what. But I, like, all of a sudden now, 4 days later, 5 days later, now he wants to be heard on it. Like, I'm sorry, you missed the boat on that one. He's not a union guy. He never has been, which is fine. It's his choice.
Yeah, he was for about 2 months when they took up his cause for Deflategate, and he used the union lawyers, and that was it. That's about it. Otherwise, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the COVID regulations. He doesn't care about the protocols. He doesn't care about the health and safety measures that are taken for the place of his players coming back. He doesn't care about what the CBA is going to look like. He doesn't care how much money they hold back in escrow or how much money they trim. He doesn't care if there are fans in the state. He doesn't care about any of that. And this is part of why he's so great. He only cares about one thing, and that is getting on the field and proving everybody wrong who doubted him. And shoving it up Bill's ass and shoving it up anyone's ass who thinks that he's too old or whatever. It's all he cares about. He doesn't care about COVID. You see the clip we just showed of him going into the facility? No, there's a mask somewhere there, but he's not even thinking about it. He's like, get this over with. Can I get on the field? Can I get on the field and get with my teammates so I can start teaching them where to go? Because all I care about is when the games start and me proving everybody wrong. And that's why he's so great. He didn't care about any of it. But this thing, that Twitter thing, that's just lip service to show that he did something, right? But he doesn't care.
Yeah, so look, and again, I just think there is, depending on how you feel about unions overall, and more importantly, how you feel about the players versus the owners in the NFL, Brady's not a union guy. He's just not. And this idea that, like, he support, I think he deserves some criticism for that. Because the day that Patrick Mahomes signed, okay, I said Patrick Mahomes has already done more for the quarterback salary structure in the NFL in 10 minutes than Tom Brady's done in 20 years. Okay, so now again, and look, the Patriots benefited from that. So Patriots fans probably don't care. But in the battle of the NFL players versus the owners, Tom Brady undermined the cause, plain and simple.
Okay. What made you more excited, Murray? What video made you more excited? You watching Cam Newton walk through Logan Airport? But more excited as a Patriots fan, right? Cam Newton walking through Logan Airport in his get-up last night, or Tom Brady in his black SUV rolling into that Tampa Bay Buccaneers facility? Which video would you rather see?
You even have to ask. It's Brady, of course.
I wonder
Brady's showing up to work. Cam Newton was being bothered by a bunch of pain in the ass mutants at the Logan Airport.
Murray, you're a pain in the ass mutant.
No, that's about the worst thing you could call me. I am not.
You're media, Murray. You're one of us. You're not one of them. You're one of us.
No.
Okay, your thoughts out there, folks. Your thoughts on the two arrivals. Your thoughts, again, of Newton and Patriots and that fit. And it's just kind of silly how they don't let him talk and they're not going to let him talk, but he can blab for an hour on Odell Beckham's YouTube channel about everything the team doesn't want him to blab about. I don't know. And there's more thoughts about why Cam Newton didn't talk yesterday that I think are just totally missed the mark, completely missed the mark. And we'll get to that coming up after these words with your calls at 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's move on to talk about Tom Brady's replacement up in New England, yes. Most likely. Cam Newton arriving in Boston yesterday. Let's not talk about where the mask is on the face, but the new Patriots quarterback asked some questions and simply answered, a la the Patriot way, saying, quote, I'm not talking. He's already adapting all things New England. Awesome, Nick, what'd you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Cam is one of the many athletes of his generation that has correctly figured out, I know it bothers a lot of old school media people, he doesn't need the local media at all. You know how Cam talks to us? On his Instagram page. And he does it all the time. And he asks himself, with respect, better questions, sometimes in the third person, than often local reporters or national reporters would. So I got no problem with this whatsoever. I feel like Cam has been Wilds as transparent as any athlete I can remember throughout this process. And the fact that he didn't want to talk while he was at the airport, fresh off the plane, maybe want to do a little social distancing, like I got no beef with that whatsoever, whether it's a Patriot way or just the Cam way.
Of course not. All right, so that's Nick Wright on Fox Sports. They were playing some MLS matches this morning, so I didn't get my usual Greenberg fix. Went over to Fox Sports. They gave me a take, gave me a rejoin. I think he's actually right. I think Nick Wright is right. You know, the way that this works now is the local media, like, you know, these guys now reach out through their own social media channels and all that. So that part's totally true. But when she says he's already adhering to the Patriot way, he's already adhering to the Patriot way. What has he done this offseason that's the Patriot way? I mean, he's made himself the story. He's been the news. He's been the one that's fueled the hype train. He is the one that was told by the team, no doubt, to zip it. We're not doing any media before you step on the field. And then he does this huge long interview where, again, he talks about Belichick, Brady, McDaniels, and all the upcoming opponents. So what do you mean he's adhering to the Patriot way? I mean, Cam Newton is no dummy. All right, he may be a handful in certain respects, and he may be a lot of things, but he ain't dumb. If the team tells him, Cam, we're not doing any pre-media, we're not doing anything like that, he may still go off and do his YouTube thing, but he's not going to show up at the airport in Boston after his signing and stop and do a press conference in the terminal. Like, that ain't the Patriot way. I mean, that doesn't mean he's adhering to the Patriot way. It just means he has half a brain. So what are they talking about? Pick up this conversation, because a few of the things that I heard, there's a few other guys on the panel. I'm not even sure who they are. One of them is Chris Broussard. I'm not sure who the other fellow is. Sorry, I forgot the name offhand. But just pick up the conversation, Jim, if you could.
No, he's just focused on winning. He realized that there's no value to setting the expectations so high like another team in the NFL who's consistently taking every opportunity to talk about how they're going to have a dynasty for the next 5 years, 10 years. The Chiefs are supposed to win, according to the latest report, up to 7 rings in the next 10 years. I don't know how long the dynasty, maybe it's multiple decades like the Patriots,
years.
Nick. So I like this out of Cam, and I don't need to hear any dynasty talk out of Kansas City while we're at it.
Look, I don't know that this had anything to do with the Patriot way. I think Cam is going to have plenty to say in New England when the time is right. As Nick said, he's been talking plenty on Instagram. He's the lion. He's the king of the jungle. He's hungry, all that stuff. He'll say similar things, I think, when he gets to New England. But the bottom line is he got to get it done on the field.
Okay. Not at the podium, he won't. Not at the podium, he won't. And in this regard, I think Cam Newton or anyone else who's super active on social media has a little bit of an advantage in that Bill is old school. You know, I think I've told you this before, and maybe it's evolved, but a little bit more back towards when I was covering the team. You know what Bill really cares about and what he, like, focuses on? Are newspaper reporters and news stories, because that's how he grew up in the league. The newspaper writers were the guys that drove the story. They're the ones that had the information. They're the ones, you know, when he, and again, I don't know what he does now, but he used to work out in the morning, step on the treadmill at whatever, 5 a.m, and he'd be handed a thick roll of all the news clippings. And that's what he went through. And that's when he would read his players say something that he hated, or a piece of information that got out that he hated. And he fixated on the newspaper guys, because that's how he's an old. He's an old and like the rest of me. He's not quite up on the, as you know, the my face and the your face and that stuff. So maybe Cam Newton slips through the cracks. But Bill cares about what you say at that podium and what you say in the papers. And that's his big thing. And I think in that regard, Cam Newton's safe. He didn't give two rat's asses about newspapers, and he's smart enough to know that when he's in Boston at the podium or anywhere else publicly in Boston, to zip it. All the stuff's going to come, Maz, on Instagram. It just is.
Okay, but again, if it's something noteworthy enough, it will then end up in the papers.
It should,
So it'll get to Bill one way or the other. That's all, you know, to me. I just think that if Newton goes too far on Instagram or on YouTube or wherever else, and it makes it in the papers or however Bill's going to ultimately consume it, then Bill will care. Like that stuff about McDaniels and that YouTube thing, Bill couldn't have been happy about that.
Hell no.
He couldn't have been happy about that. It's like, you know, oh, you're going to be able to call things now that you haven't been able to call before. My answer, if I'm Bill, I'm looking at that going, how the hell do you know what we're going to call?
Right.
Just shut up and run what we tell you to call.
Okay, A couple calls as promised. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe, lead us off today.
Hey, guys. I look at Cam's interaction with the media at the airport last night. And I look at his previous missteps in talking with the media, and I just think he and the New England media are on a complete collision course. I think we might be looking at some Rick Pitino-level press conferences by the end of the year.
So let's hope. You know, it's going to be different this year, Joe. And this is, you know, Cam, whatever trouble he's gotten in, I put that in air quotes if you're listening, because he hasn't really gotten in trouble. But whatever sort of, I don't know, little brouhaha, little brush fires that have occurred with him have usually been at the podium. You know, he had the, you know, he said that inappropriate thing to that female reporter once. And, you know, and he loves to dress it up for those, you know, event. He likes those. They're not going to have them this year, right? Aren't they going to all be Zoom calls, don't you think?
I think so.
Are you going to be any live press conferences this year? And I think that's, you know, I think that's probably good for everybody. You know, it's less opportunity for him to get in trouble. The Pats probably rest easier. There's someone probably sitting right there at his elbow. He knows he can't say anything. He won't say anything. It's like, that's not the collision course. There could be other collision courses, but I don't think it's going to be at a press conference setting, unfortunately. Jay in the car. Go ahead, Jay. What do you got?
What's going on, boys? I think this is all about Jared Stidham. I mean, a couple things to me don't make sense. If the Patriots didn't like Stidham as their quarterback, why did they make no moves until the very, very end when it was just total bargain basement? And if you think about it, for Stidham, there's two Stidhams that could show up on opening day. The fourth-round pick that is unproven, that nobody knows anything about, or the guy that beat out former MVP Cam Newton for the job. And that sits totally different with the fan base and probably totally different with some of the players that are on the team. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he's not going to beat him out. I think Cam Newton is a competition in a vacuum, meaning if he looks the way he does on the field and does what Bill wants off the field, he's in. He's the guy. You know, I don't think Stidham can beat him out if Cam Newton is Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a superior talent and is more ready, and he's just not going to beat him out if Cam Newton is Cam Newton. If Cam Newton is not Cam Newton, then Stidham could get the job, but it won't be, you know, I've said that a bunch. I think Cam Newton is in a competition with himself, Miss.
Yeah, it'll be Newton winning the job or Newton losing the job. That's it. That's the whole thing. He's the better player, at least right now. Unless there's something going on with Stidham that we don't know about. So, look, just in the last couple of minutes, the previous caller said, you know, the thing last night at the airport and compared with his previous missteps in the media. I don't think last night was a misstep.
No, not at all.
Like, I don't think he did anything wrong last night. So,
nothing.
In fact, I thought he was remarkably polite overall, but he said nothing. So, which is fine. And then the cut we played coming in, whoever it was, that first guy that spoke and said, oh, yeah, you know, he's not going to hype expectations. What are you talking about? He's not going to hype expectations. He's gone through on Instagram and identified all the teams who didn't want him. He's absolutely heightened expectations. If he comes out and sucks now, he's going to look like a jackass.
Exactly. He's already done what the Patriots didn't want him to do. But don't say anything at the airport, and we're not going to have a press conference. No, good job nipping it in the bud, guys. Yeah, the Patriots really, you know, the Patriots really zipped him up. That's the Patriot way. No. He's already blabbed. He's already talked about his relationship with Bill, the plays that Josh McDaniels are going to call. He references Tom Brady, and he calls out the teams that passed on him who they're going to play this year on the schedule. It's too late. This is sort of my frustration. It's like, I just let it go and let him stop and talk to the cameras or do the Zoom call already. The cat's already out of the bag. It's too late. Continue with your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. Plus, a thought on the NBA bubble. We're starting to see what it looks like on the floor, and I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Also, a Bruins minute. Someone did return to the ice today. Someone also didn't. We'll give you an update on that with your thoughts. It all comes your way after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doesn't know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the whole COVID thing's got everybody frustrated. So that, you know, I mean, I got asked, there was a league survey. They said, what are your three biggest concerns or problems right now? I said, coronavirus, COVID, COVID-19. So, you know, everybody's got to adjust, Kevin, as we know. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's the new normal. I hope it's not the new normal right now and we can get out of this at some point. But, you know, right now it's just the way we have to live.
So Cam Neely yesterday is part of his conversation where he pretty much called out David Pastrnak and Andre Kashe. They're still out. More guys returned to practice today, including, most importantly, and this is just one Bruins note that I want, is that Charlie McAvoy was back on the ice. And so that, to me, is good. Charlie McAvoy is someone, another player on this team that I was holding my breath with a little bit, not as much as Pastrnak. But McAvoy is another guy, young guy, not totally sure if he fully gets it yet, all those things. He goes out over the weekend, doesn't come back, and you're saying, well, what's that situation? And now he's back, so you got to believe it's not a COVID situation or whatever it is he's cleared, which, again, just sort of exacerbates and highlights what David Pastrnak got himself into. So I think big news, or good news, that Charlie McAvoy's back. I think he's an important guy. I think he's a sneaky important guy for this team, as he's got to be their best defenseman. He's got to be their best defenseman. One of he or Carlo or Krug has to be their best defenseman. I think it's McAvoy because he can play in more of those situations, and he's got to be the guy, I think, going forward, certainly, but this year as well. So that's a good news for the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's got to be the best one because he's got the highest ceiling. You know, Carlo might be the best defender. Krug might be the best offensive defenseman. McAvoy is the best combination of the two. So he can give you something at both ends, which means a lot of minutes, a lot of ice time, power play, shorthanded, the whole nine yards. So to me, there's no more important defenseman on the team than McAvoy.
Okay, so, well, that's that. And meanwhile, Pastrnak's still out. Probably not going to be on that plane on Sunday when they take off for Toronto, or won't be able to join him until they get to Toronto. So that's still rough news for the Bruins on that front. On the NBA front, on the NBA return front, they are starting to play games. They are starting to play exhibition games down there in the Orlando bubble. And we are now seeing for the first time what the court setup looks like, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what the whole getup is going to be. And I got to tell you, I am super impressed, man. As you know what? I mean, and that's not to say that I'm surprised, because the NBA is the best run league in the world, and they've probably put the most into it. And they just, you know, they have their bleep together like no other league. So you knew it would probably look the best. So this isn't to say that I'm surprised, but wow, I think it looks tremendous. And if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you're seeing the pictures. It is basically, you don't see any empty seats because they've, you know, done what I thought they would do, which is just turn it into a TV set where there's, I don't know how to describe it, signage or screens or tarps or something just around the whole court. And it's logoed up with team logos. It's logoed up with some ads, with some game stuff. And it's sort of tight to the floor. And it's, you know, just looking at it, it's created a little bit of atmosphere or a little bit of, I don't know, coziness. I don't know if that's the word. But, you know, for an empty building without stands, they've created a look, a feel to the floor, and I think they did a really good job with it, Maz.
Okay, so, you know, to me, and I, you know, saw, who was it that played last night? Was it the Clippers?
The Clippers played. The Heat have played. There have been a bunch of teams that have played. The Wizards have played. The Nuggets have played.
So I saw highlights on it, and I can tell you this. It didn't once occur to me that they weren't an empty building. Like, you know, and when I say that, I'm telling you that. I thought it all looked pretty normal to me. And I know it's different, but I'm telling you that I felt like I was watching a real basketball game again. I can't tell you how happy I was to have that. So you focus on some of the aesthetics a little bit more than I do. I like the way it looks. I like the floor. To me, it almost feels like a Final Four setup in a dome or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I and the still images, I will agree, are pretty sharp. They're cool.
But I saw some of the clips of the Magic Clippers one. It did. It looked like a normal NBA game. The sight lines were normal. They looked good. They had to get the music going as usual, even in a scrimmage. So if that's what it's going to be, they so far have absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, and you know what? You kind of knew they would. You know, I wonder, and hockey likes to follow basketball and sort of copy what Silver and the NBA do. So I'm hoping that, you know, it looks similar for hockey. But, you know, in terms of the game presentation, I do focus on it, Maz, because it's the product that we watch. And
sure.
You know, we're going to be noticing it. And they certainly used fake crowd noise from what I heard, which I hate. Again, I hate. But the rest of the game presentation, I'm actually okay with. You know, like, for example, the I heard Beatle play this clip of, I think it was Nuggets Wizards. And you're going to hear in the background the usual game presentation stuff that, you know, went on in this exhibition game yesterday. Jimmy, do you have that cut?
NBC Sports Washington.
Let's go, Nuggets!
A Let's Go Nuggets chant didn't really work.
So I think that's from the Wizards broadcast, and they're like, the Nuggets chant didn't work, and, you know, you're supposed to... So, like, it didn't work in that moment, but I'm okay with all that crap because they roll that crap in anyway. You know what I mean? Like all the little riffs and music they play, or the defense chant, or, again, the one I hear, everybody clap your hands. You know, like, that's just part of the game presentation anyway. So you can keep that stuff. You know, in hockey, you can play the arena rock when they're lining up for a face-off. When I watch a baseball game, you can play the organ. You can do all that crap. That's fine because you're not generating something that isn't there.
No, because it's real.
It's real. You know, that is really what's going on in a game anyway. So play with all that crap. That's fine. The thing and the stuff I have a hard time with, again, is just the crowd noise. And when do you level up? When do you level down? Is it a loud cheer, a small cheer? Do they get it right? Does it sound fake? That's the stuff I have a hard time with. But you watch these NBA games, it's going to be something of a different product. They're going to treat the floor and their arenas like a TV set, which is exactly what they should. And so far, I feel like they nailed it. Also, again, listen to Beatle. Apparently, there's going to be 30 cameras, you know, on every court. So you're going to have all these different angles, all this different stuff. By the way, 27 of the 30 are robotic, he said. So it's not like they're still, you know, piling too many people into the arena. There's going to be microphones under the basket, microphones under the floor, etc. So you should be able to hear some things you don't normally hear. But before we start getting calls about the players being mic'd, it's not going to be anything good. It's just going to be game sounds, I think. I don't think you're going to hear any real good insults. I don't think that's in the cards, unfortunately. But it's going to be a TV production. And if anyone could nail it, it's the NBA, and I feel like they're on their way.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think ESPN, based on MLS, has invested a lot in the audio. So it look, clearly you're rattling off the number of cameras they're going to use in the NBA games. Clearly they've invested in the video too. But if they're willing to do that for an MLS game, what are they going to do for the NBA? I think you're going to hear some acoustics. I told you the first MLS goal that I heard, it was Nat sound. There was no fake crowd noise, and I thought that's not bad. And it felt like there was energy around it because the mics were so clear and distributed so well on the field that 10 people sounded like, you know, 300. And well, I thought, I'll take that.
Well, so here's what I think. I mean, I just feel like that NBA floor has some atmosphere. You know, there's no people, but there's atmosphere. And, you know, it's interesting the way they're all spread out around the floor, right? Have you seen the benches? They're sort of in two rows and they're spread out. And there's plexiglass and then the scorekeepers. I don't know if those are media there, you know, floor side. But they got everyone sort of spread out in a couple different rows. And it's you can just tell it's really well thought out and really planned out. And if anyone's nailed it, it's the NBA. And you can just sort of sense it in these first few shots you're getting of the floor. There is one quick NBA thing that bugs me, and that is, and it's just an aside, but they're not going to let these regular season games count towards season awards, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, all these things. The voting is going on now before these games are even played, and they're not going to count these games as a part of that voting. And I hate that. I hate that. I want these games to count as much. I mean, they're counting in the standings. They're counting for seedings. Why wouldn't they count for the player awards? I mean, and I know, because it's not a full 30-team slate. And I mean, I get it to a point, but I hate anything that gives us, or especially the players, an excuse to treat those games anything other than totally real. So I kind of dislike that they've done that. I don't know if you had a thought on it, Mess.
Look, I don't, but and the NHL did the same thing, basically, right? And I know the NHL games technically are these don't count as regular season games, right?
I haven't even looked at that. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they've already announced the finalists for all the awards.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so they did sort of the same thing there. And I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, I don't mind it, and I'll tell you why. Because I think there would be a tendency to emphasize the stuff that happened in the last three games and not in the 50 or 60 or 70 that they played. You follow me? In other words, I think it would...
Yeah.
It would just corrupt people's thought processes a little bit. I hear your point about don't give the players any sort of excuse. I think the voters could fall victim to what's happening in front of their eyes, which is going to end up being, what, 5% of the regular season, if that?
Well, and also don't give fans any reason to think these are anything other than important games. I mean, this is the whole thing. We're coming back and they count. And I'm going to invest in these games. I want to invest in these games. These championships, to me, are going to be real. And so make them as real as possible.
I even think it could be something worse. I look at it as a bad sign, and that the NBA thinks that some of these guys could be out of shape and playing like ass, and it gives them some sort of out, like I think is what you're getting to, if that's the case. Like, so Giannis, he's maybe one of our biggest stars, and before the shutdown, yep, he should have been MVP, but he came back, played like garbage. But what are we supposed to do? COVID. So still vote for him as MVP. We're going to name him the MVP anyway. These games kind of don't count.
Okay. Or they're worried about what the competition is, that Giannis is going to be beating up against people who are out of shape or whatever. I mean, I think it's more about it's not a regular slate, meaning it's 22 teams versus 30 or whatever. Or maybe what Maz is saying, it would just increase the recency bias on the voting. Whatever the case, I want, to me, sports are coming back. I'm feeling it more by the day. And I'm going to be fully invested. I don't want to be anything less than fully invested. And I want the players in the leagues treating it exactly the same way. So there are your thoughts on that. Back to Cam Newton. You can weigh in on this if you want. Your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Seven's Emily Pritchard is live outside Gillette with the details. Emily. In fact, he says he is ecstatic. Cam Newton waking up in New England today, and before we know it, he will be here competing for that top quarterback position left open by Tom Brady.
As you probably know, I've been warned not to talk much.
Just one station was there when quarterback Cam Newton attempted to quietly arrive in Boston.
How are you feeling touching down here in Boston? Anything you want to say to Patriot Nation?
While Newton didn't elaborate heading to baggage claim.
No disrespect to nobody, but I'm extremely ecstatic. But I'm not talking.
Pats fans did as they share an escalator leading the new QB into town.
Welcome to Boston. We're glad to have you here.
Newton grabbing his bags and heading to a shuttle bus.
And I didn't even know the whole time I'm on a flight with Cam Newton.
Shocking fellow passengers on his flight.
It's a blessing to be on the flight with Cam Newton.
At first, I didn't notice him. Like, he was wearing, like, a mask and everything. But I just saw a big dude, and I was like, oh, this guy looks famous.
Yeah. I'd say Cam Newton would stick out a little bit. That's the report last night on Channel 7 as they meet him at the airport. The Cam Newton hype train continues. Your thoughts, Nick in Plymouth. Go ahead. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask, when is the Patriot Way going to change? Because ultimately, that hype video was a big indication that they're doing things differently. And I feel like, you know, they've given Julian a lot of slack. They've given Gronk tons of slack. Even Martellus Bennett was doing a lot on social media. I think that when you guys say that, you know, he's having to go towards the Patriot Way, like, it's one thing when there's media in front of him, but I think he's getting away a lot. But the Patriots are doing a lot of different things lately too, and I think that hype video was a big indicator of that.
Yeah, what do you guys think? You think the Pats are changing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it started with, you might think it's silly, but I think the uniforms tell you, like, it's time for a new era. Everything's different now. You know, Brady's gone, and it's time to hit the reset button in terms of aesthetics and just the whole aura here. Like, again, in the past, you wouldn't even see you could argue that Stephon Gilmore is the biggest free agent signing in this team's history. You didn't get any kind of fanfare or video like that. You just got the announcement. Bang, that was it, and that's all there was.
So, you know, my feeling is that Bill's given up on the social media thing a little bit. Where, you know, that's what I think happened with the Cam Newton team hype video, where it's those hype videos and the online stuff has gotten so important to business, so crucial to the marketing part of the team, that the Patriots, like everybody else, have more people in charge of that than ever, more people working that end of it than ever, and want to be a part of it more than ever. And it's sort of like, Bill, we have a new quarterback. Everyone that gets a new quarterback puts one of these out. We're putting one of these out. So you don't like it? That's tough. We're going to do this for Cam. Or they just did it and never even asked him. And so either Bill's given up, or again, he's an old newspaper guy, or whatever the case. Bill didn't want it, he didn't like it, but he's just sort of accepted it, or they've just gone over his head and done it. This is a long way of saying, I don't think Bill's changed one bit. I mean, when I say one bit, in this regard, it's still not how he wants it presented. It's not how he wants his players carrying themselves. I don't think he's changed in that regard at all. I just think he may have given up or given in on some things or been overruled on some things. That's what I think.
Well, so I still wonder about I told you, I distinguish between the social media stuff that goes on from player accounts versus team accounts. And so, you know, how do you stop guys from posting on social media? You can't. They have their phones constantly. And they're impulsive, so they're going to do it. So the stuff that Cam Newton puts out there, maybe Bill just says, fine, I'll let it go, pretend it's not there. The stuff that the team puts out, I don't know. I feel differently about that. I do. And I you know, now, did he sign off on it? Did he ignore it? Did he not know about it? I don't know. You might be right. I can't tell you specifically, but I know this. Bill Belichick ain't changing.
Right.
I know that. Bill Belichick's not going to change.
That's what I think. I don't think Bill's changed at all.
So I think Bill's going to do what he does the whole way, and you can call it whatever you want. I find that the term Patriot Way to be so pretentious and downright arrogant, it makes me sick. I hate the term Patriot Way. People talking about it like somehow the Patriots are the only ones on the planet that do things the right way, the Patriot Way. I find it nauseating every time I hear that term.
We continue. You're all lined up. We'll get right back to you after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.